We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
IB Nation Sports Talk rolling on a Thursday. I think this is the second Thursday in a row that I have done a show.
It is. You know, previously.
After doing virtually no Thursday shows.
No Thursdays.
Forever.
Yes, that is right. Correct. That is correct. But hey,
I tell you what, man, I was sitting here today and I'm like, holy smokes, I've been home for 3 days and I'm not packing and getting ready to go someplace right now. Because that's like,
that's a good point.
What it felt like for a long time. Basically,
living out of a suitcase. Yeah,
right. I mean, barring some major unexpected, you know, event when the seedings and, you know, pairings come out this
Sunday. It
would
be an upset. Yeah,
yeah, we're expecting to be home for another couple weeks, basically, until hopefully we're traveling to go to the Sweet 16 someplace. He's Vince. I'm Sean. Glad to have you with us here today. A little formality that I wanted to get through first, and Sean Kelly was listening yesterday. He asked if the local South Bend guys are meeting up since Jesse is in town. Who's buying? Vince isn't an option, as we know. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if word got to you yesterday, but someone in the mailbag asked which of the IB staff members is the least likely to pick up the tab if we were all out. And Vince, there you go. See? I don't feel bad that I called you out because I felt like you would fully own that. You would eat it, you know?
100%. And here's the thing, and it's not because I wouldn't want to. I would absolutely want to because I love the guy, my friends, and I love being able to do things like that.
Right.
But man, I have just been programmed to be such a penny pincher because as you all are aware, I'm a teacher and my wife stays home with the kids and we have 5 kids.
Vince's contribution would be, you know, like, well, I've got a coupon, you know, like,
yeah, 100%
coupon available for
wherever. I would come with a discount or, you know, hey, no, guys, we can go out on Tuesdays because, you know, this happens on a Tuesday, you know, yeah, I would know all of that. Absolutely. My wife is a genius when it comes to how to stretch a dollar. So she has trained me so well when it comes to that kind of stuff. So someday the kids are going to be gone. Then I'll be picking up the tab.
That's right. That's right.
So but the youngest is 8, so it's going to be a while.
So again, I don't feel bad for, you know, just called it what it is
yesterday. Yeah. Well, and that explains the comment here by Tommy Guns. Oh, look, Cheapskate is in.
Cheapskate is in.
It's this guy. That's right. Are you right? I'll own it.
There he is. Salty says, Sean and random co-host, you're aware Brian believes the great one will be break further out wide receiver this season. Sure you agree.
I did hear, sometimes I'll turn on the big show while I'm at school and just kind of have it on kind of in the background or whatever. And I did hear that he picked Jaden Greathouse to be a breakout going into next season. So is it this season now?
We're kind of in that in-between time.
Yeah. Where,
what do you exactly call it? It's either this season and next season both apply.
I guess, right? They really do. So
because if you say this season, it's the one coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
If you say next season, it's the one coming up.
So the 2024 season, he did.
If you were in the middle of the season, you could only say this or next.
Yes.
Like that's when you differentiate, I think, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. Perfect.
Yes. I guess so. Hey, I did want to mention one other thing. Oh. Real quick, you know, I always used to kind of open up the show with the whole spiel about hit the like button, subscribe, rate, review, and I kind of save that for the end of the show now. But I just did want to, you know, for our listeners slash viewers, whichever platform that you happen, you know, to listen slash watch on, that those two things do help us out, you know, like especially this time of year, the quote unquote off season. Like there's no off season for us. Obviously we're doing shows virtually every day. We're pumping out multiple shows. And, you know, like I know people complain sometimes about the amount of ads in the shows and stuff like that, but it's literally like what gives us the ability to be here. Like we make money off those ads without getting too detailed about it. But hitting the like button is very simple. And I used to feel kind of awkward, like when I first started this, like about asking people to hit the like button and that kind of stuff. But it literally helps, you know, helps the algorithm, helps push up the show, lets more people see the show. And, you know, again, like if you subscribe to it on the podcast platform, that's an automatic download, which automatically helps us as we get those downloads. And, you know, I don't want to make it, you know, we're not like begging for help. We're not hurting or anything like that. But since it is the out of season time of year, it always helps, you know, when our regulars can help us out with something very simple like that, just hitting the like button and actually subscribing on the podcast platform to the show, because that's an automatic download. Those things both help us out.
Oh, great. I would say the signing up for the podcast and you know, subscribing to get those automatic downloads. That is, if you're giving me a choice, that would be the big one that I would want people to do, because that one helps us out big time.
Right. Don said 39 watching, 11 likes. You know, come on.
See, come on.
Guys. We need a higher percentage of that. And she also said that there's nothing wrong with clipping the coupons. So,
hey, I know where the stack of coupons is in my wife's car and in the house. And there's no doubt there. I mean,
yeah. Salty said I got over that awkwardness in a hurry. Like once it was explained to me exactly, you know, like you remember, I came from radio. We didn't have to worry about any of this kind of stuff.
It's true. You know,
they're both free. You know, let's put it that way. It's free to everybody, and things stay free when you help us out with that simple stuff. So,
yep,
we do appreciate it. We obviously appreciate the regulars. We appreciate anybody new.
Oh yeah,
coming in, listening, watching, whatever it happens to be. As a matter of fact, this show, the theme of today's show, we're doing confidence rankings of all of Notre Dame's position groups, offensive and defensive. It came from our friend DK in yesterday's mailbag. You know, what I said was, because he threw it up in the mailbag, do a confidence or, you know, like position ranking kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, that's one of those.
It's a show.
That's a whole show. That's not just 5 minutes in a, you know, in a mailbag. So here it is. Vince and I.
Yeah.
We brought our rankings. And So what we did, there are 9 position groups. We're just going offense, defense. We didn't include special teams in this. So we, Vince and I each ranked the groups 1 through 9. And since Jesse is here, he's actually sitting out in the living room right now. He asked me if I wanted him to chime in. I'm like, well, you can if you want to. You're here. But I asked him to do a ranking as well, just so we kind of had, you know, a little more data to go on. And then I did a composite of the 3 rankings that we did. I found it interesting. 7 of the 9, 2 of us agreed. Oh. So in 7 of the 9, you know, spots in the rankings, okay, 2 of us agreed. There were no unanimous across the board.
None.
But the 3 spots that were the closest, most consistent, were the 3 top spots.
Okay.
Basically.
I would say the top spots for me were the easiest, obviously. And then it was like, okay, you know.
We all had 1, 2, or 3, the 3 position groups that we had at the top of the list.
Nice. Okay. All right. I was wondering which way you guys were going to go, because that you could have gone a lot of different ways with this, because there are some position groups where I think there's a lot of talent, mm-hmm, but it's unproven talent.
Exactly.
And so what is the confidence there? Yeah.
That was the most – there was one where Jesse and I voted the same. You had him a lot higher. I'll just say wide receiver. Jesse and I voted the same. You had wide receiver group a lot higher.
It's interesting, because I almost put him higher than I did.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
And I did kind of have a tough time with what to do with the receiver group. There's a ton of experience there. I think we can all agree we went all in on the receiver group last year, and it blew up miserably in all of our faces.
Oh,
we know that there's, you know, more experience coming in, and, you know, again, talent and all that kind of stuff proven to different degrees. But when you mix in the fact that they're coming, everyone's learning a new offense, and you've got a new quarterback and all that, I think that's my rationale for putting them lower. So,
how
do you want to do this? Do you want to go through sort of the number that they ended up with in the composite rank and go that way as we talk about these?
Sure. I just love our normals that are in and out of the chat and things. And now I've been branded. I've been branded. Decaf. You will
forever be the cheapskate.
Just tuned in. I see the cheapskate has graced us with his presence. Here I am. That's wearing clothes that I've had for a very long time. So there you go. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to break away from what we were doing.
That's okay.
Since you said we have our top 3 all very similar, why don't we just start at the top?
You want to do that?
And then work our way down. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go in order that of how they ended up in the composite ranking.
Okay.
I'll say what each of us voted. Basically.
Okay, cool. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all 3. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Okay, so the number one, there's actually a tie for number one. Ooh. Now that I look at this.
Okay.
Cornerbacks and running backs tied for number one. Corners and running backs tied for number one. I had corners number one on my list. You and Jesse both voted them number two. Running backs, you and Jesse voted them number one. I voted them number three.
Wow, number three. Okay. Yes. Those are by far the two I have the most confidence in, no doubt about it. I mean, I think, and here's my thought process on it, right? I was trying to decide who to put first, running backs or corners, because I think both of those are going to be outstanding, right? I think we have more empirical data on the running back room because they got more carries last year than maybe we saw whoever is going to be the second corner moving into the season. Now, I have a lot of confidence in both Gray and
Mickey.
That's
true. I guess we got to see them more, but it was still Audric Estime who was the workhorse, obviously. Yeah,
absolutely. I just think we saw flashes of what they could be. That way we saw flashes of Gray as well when that one-handed interception and all of that. But the only reason I put running backs ahead of corners is because I think they have more playing experience than the second corner does.
That makes sense.
So that's really the only thing that tipped the scale for me. They're both neck and neck to be number one for me. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah. And my debate was more like front end. I mean, it makes sense doing it that way, like depth, but like I'm looking at the guys who are going to be starting, and you got Benjamin Morrison, obviously on one side, who was like the star of day one of spring. Not, you know, not that that matters, but I think he's already shown sort of the level that we can expect to see him ascend to even more in his third year out there. Cause we already know, you know, just watching him the first 2 years, how great he is. And you lose an NFL guy in Cam Hart on the other side, but you, again, like got a lot of talent between Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey over there. And I think you include like the nickel in there as well. You've got Jordan Clark, you know, maybe, you know, again, like the guy played injured all of last year at Arizona State, but he played through the injury. Clarence Lewis is back for another year, you know, like, oh, by the way, year five to give them some depth there, you know? So I just felt really good. And look, Mike Mickens is coaching this group. So I think that whoever is on that next level, I have full confidence in his ability to coach those guys up and have them ready to go.
Well, you know, what's funny also is when you talk about coaches, and I didn't even think about this, if I was going to do a confidence ranking of the coaches, I would have running back. I would have, you know, the running backs coach and the DB coach one and two. And I think you could make an argument either direction for either one of those guys. Right. And so it's interesting, the correlation for me between those two coaches and those two position groups, because it would not match completely going through as far as my confidence level in position groups and confidence level in coaches. It would not be equal. Right. It just as an example, my tight ends are lower, and Mike Denbrock would obviously be much higher, and he's technically the tight ends coach.
Correct.
And so those would be juxtaposition there.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And in terms of the running backs, you know, again, I voted them three, but you and Jesse both voted them number one. And it's really, especially these top threes, like, there wasn't a lot of disparity for me, like, because the way I broke it down, there were like four groups that I had at the top that you could almost interchange, especially the top three, you could almost interchange depending on where they ended up. And then the bottom five, I felt like we're all pretty close, but even the groups on the bottom five, it's not like I have, you know, huge concerns or see red flags with any of them. It's just that you've got to rank them 1 through 9. So they ended up at the bottom. I've just got that much more confidence in the ones at the top. And, you know, very similar to Mike Mickens, you know, just a ton of confidence in Dylan McCullough, the way he's coached this group and obviously recruited the group as well. And I mean, Diggs and Estime were unproven a couple of years ago, and they both flirted around 1,000 yards. And then obviously we saw Estime top that and have a record-setting year this past year. And there's just a lot of good, still pretty young talent in that room. So it's not, you know, again, it's not that I am not confident in them. I'm probably just not quite as confident as you guys. And that's so fair. The group that I put number two, that you guys both had number three, is the quarterbacks. So why maybe are the quarterbacks a little bit lower for you than the other groups?
Only because I just keep getting pounded in my head over and over just listening to the nonsense out there about the accuracy issues of you know, Riley Leonard. And I don't think I buy into it completely, right? But if there's a flaw in his game, it would be that. Now,
well, I think it's that coupled with how well does he actually like read defense, make progressions, because there wasn't a whole lot, you know, to his, like, watching him on film. It's like read one, read two. And then, like, if nothing's there, I'm probably going to take off and run, you know, like that to me is a level of his game, especially, you know, like for him to advance to the next level, to the NFL, which is obviously what he wants to do. Like, that's a big thing to me.
I guess what puts my mind at ease, and which is why quarterback is still as high as it is. Number one, it's the room, right? I have a lot of confidence in that room. One through four, shake them up and put them in whatever order you want. I think the room is better than it's ever been, at least since I've been covering the team top to bottom. Okay. That's part of it. The second part is, if we all remember, and I realize Riley Leonard wasn't on everybody's radar, you know, a year ago. But a year ago, going into his third year of college, he was on draft boards projected forward to the 24 draft. Like, he's going to come out after his third year.
As soon as he beat Clemson, he skyrocketed.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. So, like, draftees, or whatever you want to call the people that do the drafting and whatnot, didn't seem to have a huge problem with his accuracy or anything else. He was being talked about as one of the top quarterbacks that was going to be in the 24 draft. And the only reason he didn't go, like, I heard somebody say, well, you know, Riley Leonard had to come to Notre Dame, otherwise he would have been in the NFL, or, you know, the NFL wasn't an option for him, so that's why he's at Notre Dame. But, you know, something along those lines. Well, it's because he got hurt. And when he got hurt, you know, everything kind of took a back seat, right? He wasn't able to put up the numbers. He wasn't able to duplicate the numbers that he had in year two, right? And so that's why he's not in the NFL. It's not for lack of talent. It's just he needs to go through a whole nother full year and be able to put up the numbers and all of that. And he'll be right back in the mix for, you know, talking about drafts. And so I just think this is not a situation like a Sam Hartman, for example, where the offense that he was running didn't translate to the NFL, and he had to go to Notre Dame to be in a pro-style offense to prove to people that he could be in the NFL, which that's a different argument for a different day on whether he accomplished that or not, right? this is different. The Riley Leonard situation is completely different to me. And so my reservations are put to rest because a year ago, nobody had an issue with his accuracy. And now all of a sudden that they do. And so that's kind of where I differ a little bit. And that's where my confidence level kind of gets back up there. Top three in confidence level at Notre Dame right now, position group wise, still think is pretty stinking good. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And I mean, his completion percentage was down last year compared to the year before when he was around just a shade under 64%. That's still a solid number for college, especially when you factor in the running that he has. I think you can live with 64% when you've got that kind of runner. You know, is he going to stretch the ball vertically? I think that's a legitimate question because, again, like you didn't see too much of that at Duke, but because the kind of wide receivers, which of course we'll talk about here in a little bit, the kind of receivers that we have should be able to do a whole lot more of that. And you guys saw some of that at that first practice last week where you saw more vertical stuff going on, you know. But so he went from almost 64% in his full season as a starter to down around, you know, 57, almost 58% last year. But again, you factor in the injury that he had, you know, just how good was the supporting cast around him. It was not very impressive, you know, like just looking at, you know, I'll be, you know, completely honest. I haven't watched like every Duke game, even though I know a lot of people have. We've had other things going on, but you know, it's like just watching the supporting cast that I saw in the handful of Duke games that I saw, there wasn't a whole lot and there's going to be a ton more around him here at Notre Dame.
Oh, 100%. And the injury that he had makes it a little bit more difficult to step into a throw. And it, look, any quarterback guru will tell you that your accuracy comes from your lower half. It's not just your upper half. It's not just your arm, right? It comes from your lower half. And he had a lower body injury.
Right.
And so
exactly.
That affects your throwing accuracy, right? I mean, let's be honest. And I, you know, watching practice, the only inaccuracy I saw was just a guy who's still getting used to throwing to brand new receivers. I didn't see, you know, a whole lot of inaccuracy from him. Granted, one practice, right? I'm very interested to see what happens the next time we get to see a full practice. And, you know, you're going to be able, you meaning Sean, are going to be able to be at some of these early, you know, where they show the five periods and stuff like that. And you'll be able to see some stuff as far as accuracy is concerned, just won't be in like 11 on 11 type stuff. So I think we'll get a better idea. It's just, I'm not as freaking worried about a lot of people as a lot of people are about his accuracy.
Well, and look again with the dimension that he brings as a runner, traditionally those kind of guys are not going to have, you know, they're not going to complete up there pushing 70%, you know, they're going to be much closer to where he is in that 63 to probably 60, you know, 66% range because he compensates for, you know, for a lack of that with his ability to run.
Right.
So it's 100%. Just going to look a lot, it's going to look a lot different. Going to look a lot different with Riley Leonard.
Do you know what Steve Young's career completion percentage was?
Oof, man. I would guess somewhere around 65%.
64.3.
Okay.
So just throwing that out there. Mobile quarterback. There you go. I'm not saying Riley Leonard is going to be a Super Bowl winner and all those different things. I'm just saying you mentioned the fact that a runner doesn't necessarily need to have a high completion percentage.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. So that's the first guy that came to mind, and I looked him up, and there you go. So
yeah,
I want people like coming at me. Oh my God, Vince said he's going to be the next Steve Young. No, that's not what I'm saying.
It's not his take. It's not
there
his take.
There you go, Jason Smith. Starting the rumors. You heard it here first. Riley Leonard is the next Steve Young.
Yep.
I knew it as soon as I said it.
Newsflash, local dean of students says.
Yep, just put my foot in my mouth again. It's what I do best.
Yeah. But, you know, I also feel confident in the guys behind Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've for all of the sort of alleged Angeli bashing that people think that we have done. I do have confidence in Steve Angeli as a backup quarterback and, you know, his ability. Sure. Like if there was a game this week and Riley Leonard wasn't playing, I do have confidence in him to, you know, come in, run the offense. Now, again, it's going to look different than Riley Leonard. It's going to look different than any of the other quarterbacks, but I would feel confident in his ability that they can put a game plan together for Steve Angeli to come out and have a successful day.
I do too. So. I do too. And he's going, there's a bunch of games on this schedule that, that Steve Angeli can win for you. No doubt about it.
Right.
No doubt about
exactly.
it. Exactly. It's just, I don't want Riley Leonard to be injured come playoff time. That's when we have a different conversation. So
thank you, Salty. 64.3%, not 65. It's actually pretty happy with myself that I landed pretty close to where it was.
I know. So. That was pretty good. I was like, okay, look at you. And Joe Allen says Lamar Jackson is a better comp, and that's fine. Lamar Jackson, his career regular season completion percentage, 64.5.
I was going to say, I would guess that he is
so
63-64%.
His playoff completion percentage is 57.4.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about
it. Well, that. I mean, where they've gotten trouble there is, you know, they – When you get to the playoffs and you're a team that runs the ball the way they do, it's a little bit like the option. Once you get behind, especially by multiple touchdowns,
sure,
and now you've got to throw the football, it looks a lot different. And that could be a concern for, you know, for a guy like Riley Leonard, although I think Notre Dame's defense is good enough that that shouldn't be a major factor most of the time. Again, especially when you look at the schedule that they play, that shouldn't be a huge factor for him. So, okay, so the composite, again, had corners and running backs tied at number one, the quarterbacks as the number three position group. Number four is the defensive line, and we were all pretty close on this. You and I voted the defensive line exactly number four. Jesse had him a little bit lower at number six.
Oh, he went all the way to six on that. Mm-hmm. Wow, okay. Yeah, I mean, look, it obviously starts and finishes with the interior and, you know, the return of those guys and you know, what they're able to bring to the table and the leadership and the depth now with those guys. We'd be having a completely different conversation if those guys decided not to come back. And so
my thoughts exactly. It looks a lot different if you don't get Cross and Riley Mills back.
Right, because there's still question marks on the outside, on both sides, for that matter. But you got so much stability on the inside that's why this group is as high as it is. And so this was an easy one for me. I feel very confident. And you can also throw in Coach Washington and you know, my confidence level in him to bring some of those outside guys along. Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I'm very happy with my number four selection there.
Yeah. I am as well. And you're right. I think with Jesse, more of the questions had to do both with depth and what's going on at the defensive ends, you know, like a little bit more justifiably so, a little bit more concern with Jordan Botello and that kind of thing. Is he going to make that step? But I mean, like you look at a guy like Sean Sevillano and it's like, man, could this guy, you know, being 325 pounds walking in the door as a freshman, like, could he factor in that too deep, you know, because of that size that he's got? Because he's so much bigger even than Cross, you know?
Yeah. He might be able to steal some snaps here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, he does with the return of those guys, that's the thing. They're not going to need one of these younger guys to eat up a ton of snaps. You know what I mean? It's not going to be forced upon them the way it has in the past, where these guys have had to come in and give you a bunch of snaps and all that. With Cross and Mills coming back, you don't have to worry about the majority of the snaps. Now, there's going to be a heck of a battle behind them to get some of those second team snaps or even those third team snaps because, you know, the defensive line rotates a bunch.
Right.
But the bulk of those snaps are going to get eaten by those two guys. And
exactly.
You got to feel really good when those two are on the field together.
And you've still got Jason Anye out there who was the big spring star last year. And I think there is a little bit of a question for him in terms of, Can he take what we saw last spring when he really started to pop and even in training camp to an extent and turn that into actual production on the field? Because, you know, like we saw, I think the best play we saw from Jason Anye was more special teams type stuff than necessarily, traditional out there playing interior defensive line, you know, trying to get after the quarterback or stopping the run and those kind of things. But
good point.
You know, but again, the fact that you've got the front end guys back gives him a little bit more leeway to continue to develop, because he was literally at this point last year, just going into spring, not someone that anyone was talking about. But the fact that he did start to pop, it's like, as a guy that you had to be talking about by the time spring was over with.
Yep. Agreed.
So the next position group, we've got another tie at number five. And okay. This is the tight ends and the safeties.
Oh, and interesting.
You had the tight ends a bit lower at number seven. Jesse and I each had them at number five. And really, to me, the only question with the tight ends is health. Like, you know, because like Mitchell Evans and Eli Raerden are both coming off the ACLs. Can they stay healthy? But like the thing with the tight end group, you know, you still have Cooper Flanagan there. Sure. You've still got Jack Larson coming in. You know, he's an early enrollee right now. And, you know, Bauman is still trying to come back from his own injuries as well. That guy has just been able to catch any kind of luck at all. But I just look at it like, again, with health being the, like, if health does become an issue again, then the position group probably becomes an issue again. But because we probably won't see as much 12 personnel, and
that's a good point.
And because of the fact that someone from this group always emerges, basically, because Notre Dame gets great tight ends to come here, I'm not as concerned, you know, and I continue to be confident with this group.
You know, that's a really good point about the change in personnel groupings and the emphasis on said groupings. And that does make a difference, because you don't need as many tight ends to be a top level, you know, situation. I guess watching that first practice for me, and just seeing Flanagan and the freshman
Larson,
just said his name, Larson. Those are the only two tight ends that took part in any kind of team stuff. You know what I mean? And so like, not that I don't think that those guys are good, but the fact that those are the only two guys that you even had available that had a scholarship attached to their name, it's like, man, that is concerning. And so it is 100% for me, the reason I put them where they are, it's 100% a health situation. It's 100%. I love Mitchell Evans. I think he's going to be a great tight end for Notre Dame. I think he's going to do just fine, especially in 11 personnel. It's just the simple fact that, when is he going to be back and on the field?
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue. And that question mark just pushed that group down a little bit for me. And it's totally health, 100% health.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's a legit thing, just because, you know, when you've got three guys coming back from ACLs at the same time, that's never good.
That's scary, man. Because the ceiling for this group, I think, is really high, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the athletic ability, the catch radius, you know, all of those different things, the blocking ability. I think your top three guys could be really, really, really good. It's just two of those guys are completely unavailable right now. And when are they going to be available? It's just too much of a question mark for me. They will rise up if all of those guys are available and participate.
I concur. So tight ends and safeties were tied here. I had the safeties the lowest at number seven. You had them at number six. Jesse had them the highest at number four. He was a bit more confident
in
the safeties. Yes, I know.
Oh,
kind of shocked.
That's really high for me.
Yeah. But it's basically because of his... He had the defensive line a little bit lower. So that's kind of where the trade-off is right there. So what's your safety rationale for where you had him?
So I had him at six. And I mean, look, if anybody has been watching, you know, Irish Breakdown for any amount of time, you know that I'm an absolutely huge, you know, Xavier Watts fan. I have been since he stepped foot at Notre Dame. They just couldn't figure out what position to put him at. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so been a huge fan of his. Obviously, he had an amazing season last year, so I have the utmost confidence in him. It's just who's going to be next to him? I think that's still a question mark.
Right.
I really enjoyed watching Adon Shuler do his thing in practice the other day. He was getting the first team reps, and I thought that, okay, I mean, he could do it. He's athletic. He's fast. He comes downhill. Does all the things that you want him to do. He just has zero experience. And so it's like, okay, if it's going to be Shuler, then okay. Is it going to be Rod Hurd? maybe I just don't know because I've never seen him play in a Notre Dame uniform, right? He was there, just didn't get to see him. And so, you know, he's still enrolled in another university right now. So it's the question mark of who's going to be lining up next to Xavier Watts that I think pushed them down just a little bit. I could see if we did this again in the fall, like let's say halfway through the fall, maybe going into the season, maybe prior to the get to game one, the safety group could definitely rise through the rankings here.
Yeah. And that's, I'm basically thinking along the same lines as you without repeating a bunch of stuff that you said. It's basically nothing but confidence in Xavier Watts. Why would you not have a ton of confidence in the guy who is the defensive player of the year last year? It's just who's going to play next to him. You know, like what, you know, like the whole thing, bringing Rod Hurd in from Northwestern, he's not here right now. And what that looks like, you know, he's kind of similar to Antonio Carter. He played more nickel at Northwestern, but they're looking at him at safety. Obviously didn't work out for Carter, but what you hope is you're bringing in a Pac-10 guy versus an FCS guy with Carter last year. And maybe, you know, it translates a little bit better, I guess, because you're not just switching positions. You know, last year, you're also moving up a pretty big step in the level of competition that you're facing and the guys that you're battling with every day in practice.
No, 100%. And, you know, I don't know if Rod Hurd is the presumed starter or how that's going to work. I mean, I don't have any information on that. I assume that he's going to get every opportunity to be the starter there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm really excited about what a Don Shuler can do someday. Maybe that's this day. Maybe that's in 24. Maybe that's in 25. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he gets in the rotation this year. Maybe he's the starter this year. I really like a Don Shuler a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, he's so young and we just don't know. You know what I mean? We can only look at high school film so much. Right. And so, but he looks the part. I can tell you that much. He absolutely looks the part. And so if he ends up being the guy, then great. Cause that means he beat out, you know, a former Big Ten player, which is okay. You know, so I think they've got the pieces there. It's just too many question marks to have them much higher for me.
Don says, regardless of position, I haven't seen talent across the board at Notre Dame like this in a long time. And I've got to agree with that. And that's to me, you know, again, like those top three position groups that we had, they were the ones that I was obviously most definite on. And then it's kind of like there's probably a middle three. And then even the ones at the bottom, there's not a whole lot of separation for me between the bottom of the list and even those middle three. It's just a matter of you've got to rank them. And so someone's got to be at the bottom of the list, you know?
Well, and I think a lot of it too is the groups that I have at the bottom, like the bottom two, for example, they could end up being strengths of this team when it's all said and done, because there's a ton, like I believe, and I think you believe, and Irish Breakdown believes, and et cetera, there's a ton of depth there. There's a ton of talent there. It's just unproven talent. Haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they get dropped to the bottom, because we just don't know for sure. We feel like we could know. We feel like these guys are going to turn the page in athleticism and all of those different things. It's just haven't seen it on game day at Notre Dame. And so somebody's got to be at the bottom. That's why those groups, and we're going to talk about them, that's why for me, those groups are at the bottom.
And the next group at number seven is the offensive line.
Wow.
And we had them clustered, but all three of us had them in a different spot. I think this is the only, it was one of two that the safeties was the other, that we each had them in different spots that nobody agreed on. So I had them six, Jesse had them seven, you had them at number eight, the offensive line in this spot.
Yeah, and for me, I guess I'm lower than both of you guys. And again, it's kind of the reasoning that I just put forth. It's just, I think there's a ton of talent, especially on the interior. Although Charles Jagasaw, I think, is going to be really, really good at tackle. I think he's got the potential to be an NFL guard. But I think he could also be, you know, I think he's like a Zach Martin type. You know what I mean? Like a really good tackle in college. But I feel like his future could potentially be a guard in the NFL. You know, it doesn't take away anything what he's going to be at Notre Dame, but just too many question marks. You're going to have potentially four new starters from the end of last year to this year, right? Or not even the end of the middle of last year. Because you put Rocco back in there.
And look, that's a bigger question than, again, if you want to base everything off one bowl game, which a lot of people want to do with both the offensive line and Steve Angeli, and I was actually thinking about this today. If you based everything off one bowl game, think about the Gator Bowl and the Gator Bowl that Jordan Botello had. If you based everything off that, Jordan Botello should have looked a lot different last year, right?
Good call.
But that's not the way it ended up. And that's why that's like, I don't know why I didn't think about this sooner is with all these discussions that we've been having. But to me, that's case in point right there. Like Exhibit A, you can't base everything on one bowl game at the end of the season after you both teams have had opt-outs. And remember all that, South Carolina had they had a lot of they didn't have any tight ends on the roster. So, you can't base everything just on that. And the fact that you are going to have so many new guys on the line when you're going up on the road, big road environment, game number one, that's one of the bigger questions that I think they're going to have going into that game.
Yeah.
Communication, how they play together, all those things that you just don't know until you see it live in an actual game.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I said, you could have four new starters on the offensive line. Cause right now Rocco Spindler is running with the twos and he was a starter all last year until he got hurt. Right. And so two tackles, the center, those are going to be different. And then you've got a chance that maybe one of those guards that started the majority of the season last year, maybe doesn't get a starting spot back, whoever that is, whether it's Rocco, whether it's Pat Coogan, I just don't know. So you could have three to four brand new starters on an offensive line of a team that you think is going to be a playoff contender and hopefully a national championship contender. That's a lot of guys on the offensive line. And so that's why it's as low as it is for me. I still believe in the talent is there. I think I believe in Joe Rudolph. I need to see some more evidence of Joe Rudolph at this point, but that's a big question mark for me right now. And that's why I've got them as low as I do.
Yeah. And my biggest question with the line is really just right tackle because you're losing an NFL guy at both tackles, but you already talked about Jagisaw. I'm not nearly as concerned about him as is it going to be Tosh Baker? Could it be Emil? What that's going to look like? And the fact that, I really just feel like Blake Fisher should be back here this year. It would have been better for him in terms of next year's draft, in terms of his overall development. It obviously would have been better for Notre Dame's offensive line as well. That's to me really the big, along again, the fact that you do have so many new guys out there and the communication, and then just what exactly they get from whoever the right tackle ends up being.
If Blake Fisher was back as the right tackle, this group for me would be a lot higher than it is right now. It just would be. And it's only a difference of one player, because then you'd have competition at left tackle. Whoever the next best tackle is going to play left tackle. And then I think we're all very confident in the depth of the interior. I mean, there's a ton of depth at the interior for this offensive line. This group would be a lot higher if Blake Fisher was on the roster still.
For sure. For sure. Okay, so that was group number seven. Number eight is the wide receivers. You had wide receivers all the way up at number five. Jesse and I each had them at number nine on our list.
Wow, last. You guys had them last on your list.
Yes.
Tell neither one of you were at practice the other day.
Well,
no, I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. Look, we all, like you said earlier, we all got burned last year.
Right.
Talking about the wide receivers.
Wide receivers look good in spring practice last year too. So,
look, I understand where you guys are coming from. I totally do. I feel like they've got a better chance of being a group that will be successful for a myriad of reasons. Number one, who's throwing in the football? Number two, who's calling the plays and designing the offense? I think that's a big one as well.
Sure.
And I do think there is experience in that room now as well, more so than it was last year. We were kind of banking on young talent kind of taking over. And, of course, injuries played a role.
That's why they hit the portal so hard this year as well.
Absolutely. Look, Jaden Thomas, we all thought Jaden Thomas was going to be a breakout guy last year, and he got hurt. And I still think he could be a breakout guy this year if he stays healthy, right? Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, then you've got a lot of experience. And now you've got some of these younger guys that got a whole year's worth of forced experience in Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, et cetera, right? And so now they've got experience moving up. And so last year they were about three deep. This year I feel like they're six deep. And so that eggs on my confidence in this group.
Yeah.
And coaching, Joe Allen.
I generally have confidence in them as individuals, but just how it all comes together, I guess. I've got to kind of see it first, because we know there's talent. All you got to do is look on stat sheets and see what these guys have done, the transfers at their previous schools and stuff like that. But because you do have a new offensive coordinator and you've got a new quarterback coming in and, basically a bunch of free agents coming in, how are they going to perform together, and a new position coach on top of that as well? How are they all going to perform together? There's just much unknown for me right now to rank them much higher. So,
I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, right? Like I have a lot of questions about other groups and I drop them, but then there's still questions about the wide receiver group and I've got them up higher.
You got them up high. That's right.
Hey, somebody's got to be up there,
Yeah. But look, the ultimate, there's a ton of talent, but we haven't seen it, is the group that ended up coming in last in this, and that is the linebackers. You've got them ninth. Jesse and I had them eighth. So we all had them
right there,
sitting pretty low. And again, it's not that we don't have confidence in the ability of these guys, but you're losing two guys who basically, started all the games last year. You do still have a veteran in Jack Kaiser, which is good, but you've got all this young talent who, have only played, a handful of snaps here and there, basically. Most of them have played mostly on special teams to this point, not a whole lot of the actual defense.
Well, and this is the group that epitomizes the fact that we think there's a bunch of talent there. We just haven't seen it yet, right? I mean, this is the definition of that, because everybody's been waiting to see Jalen Snead get more reps. Everybody's been waiting for Drake Bowen to get more reps. Everybody's been waiting for Jaden Osberry to get more reps, right? So,
you're going to see it.
You're going to see it for better or worse. You're going to see. Now, I think it is going to be for better. I think this group could be really, really good, but there is so much inexperience in this group. Yes, Jack Kaiser comes back. He's the solidifier. But I think if all goes the way we want it to go, or the way I would like it to go, Jack Kaiser is kind of a spot guy. You put him in here and in this package, you put him here in this package, that kind of a deal. I think maybe he starts at will, to start the season, but maybe that's not the case, for the whole season. Whatever it looks like, I just think that there's so much talent here. It's completely unproven talent. Unproven.
What do you think about Adam's question there? Are the linebackers actually more talented?
They're more physically gifted. Yes, absolutely. Now, right. J.D. Bertrand's mind.
But the ability to play in the offense and read and diagnose, that's the question.
Absolutely. J.D. Bertrand's mind is what kept him on the field. And now, granted, he was a good athlete. He's a good athlete, and people did not give him credit for that. He's going to get drafted, in my opinion, at some time during the NFL draft. If you're good enough to get drafted, then you're a good athlete, okay? I'll just say that. These guys are better athletes than J.D. Bertrand.
Right.
He's
more limited athletically than Drake Bowen.
But are they going to be able to process and do everything that he was able to do?
Now, and that's, you've kind of got this line of succession where you were able to keep Jack Kaiser. So you still have a veteran in the room. And the one thing that these guys have working for them, even though they haven't played as much, they've played a little, but they've got a year under their belts in the system.
Right.
So how much is that going to help them now?
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be key. And how quickly is Drake Bowen going to be able to lead this defense from the middle linebacker position? I mean, that's going to be a big one as well. And then how creative is Al Golden going to be you know, with this group? Are they going to have three linebackers on the field on a regular basis? Are they going to be a nickel more often like last year? You know, those are all massive questions because, you know, it's simple math, right? If you have to have two linebackers prepared, it's a lot easier than having three linebackers prepared, you know, that are going to be on the field the majority of the time. So it is going to be a wild ride for these linebackers. They're going to look amazing one play and lost another. Like, I just feel like that's how this group is going to be. And hopefully you have more amazing plays than you have lost plays. Like, I think that's the goal in 24. And then in 25, this group absolutely takes off. Yeah. That's how I see it playing out.
Dawn says she has concerns about bringing in all this talent, having them start. What's that say to the guys you already have? I'd be mad if someone came in and started ahead of me. You know, we're in the transfer portal era. And that's why some guys have already left, because they had, you know, Marcus Freeman's talked about it. They had the hard conversations with him and it said, look, this is where you're probably going to be, you know, because, you know, we're going to go out and bring somebody in via the portal. And it's just what you deal with now with the portal. It's the era that we're living in. And if the coaching staff feels like they can make an upgrade and it gets them closer to a national championship, it's not always what's going to be what's going to feel fair to the player. It's still about what's best for the team, you know, like, and I think that, you know, again, like the longer Marcus Freeman and his staff are here, there are always going to be bigger hits and some misses in recruiting. But in general, I think at a place like Notre Dame, it'll kind of balance, you know, it's always going to be sort of a select few positions, I think, with the portal. It's never going to be an en masse kind of thing, you know, where they've got to go out and dress a bunch of things. There were just more this year, you know, because of all, you know, everything that happened with the upheaval in the receiver room. That's where the bulk of it came from.
Well, and I think also to Dawn's question, I think that, you know, recruiting plays a part in that too. Look, teams are always going, especially when you recruit at an elite level, you're always trying to recruit over the players that you have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're always going to try to bring in the best players at every position. And they're not going to be like, well, we're set at X position for 3 years because we have this person. They're always going to try, because injuries happen, transfers happen. You've got to continue to recruit at the absolute highest level every single recruiting class. You can't sit on your laurels, so to speak. Like, you can't, hey, man, we got CJ Carr. We can take the next 2 years of QB recruiting off.
Yeah, you know? Like DK was saying there, he said, you know, get better, work harder. The fact of the matter is, with every new, just kind of what you're alluding to, with every new recruiting class that comes in and with every spring practice and training camp that come around, there's always a chance that somebody could take your job. All you can do is keep working to be the best you can. And if you deserve to be the starter, you're going to be the starter. Cause I do feel like, you know, based on what we've seen, the staff definitely treats the guys, you know, the way that you want to be treated in terms of, you know, the meritocracy and that kind of thing. Adam wants to know if KVA and Bowen can play together by the end of the year.
Honestly, I think that might be the starting duo in 25. And I think if you do that, you're going to be really, really good at line. Like, if that's the case, the linebacker confidence level goes way up next year when we do this.
Biggest thing KVA can do is stick around Jack Kaiser as much as possible and just absorb and, make the most of his opportunities and, absorb as much as he can. Because that's exactly right. I think that's more the goal than this year. And you maybe by the time a bowl game rolls around or whatever, but
he just has to learn. I mean, he's still a true freshman coming in, early enrollee, all of those different things. His athletic ability flashed even on, the day that we were there with no pads on. Right. And I still reserve judgment for when linebackers actually put pads on before I start getting excited or not excited about certain guys. But there were times where he flashed in a very positive way. And there were times where he looked like he was running around with his eyes closed. So, I mean, you know, there's a combination of things going on there, but that's because he's an early enrollee freshman. He needs this amount of time. Drake Bowen's been in the system way longer. And so he's going to have a leg up. There's no doubt about it. Right. So could KVA over the next 8 months get some playing time? It's definitely possible. Definitely possible. But I would love to see the two of those guys on the field together, me personally.
All right, so before we move on, Tommy wants to know if I'm going to be with the basketball team during Selection Sunday. We are trending toward no right now because of Jesse. Jesse's in town for the birthday weekend. It's not just him. It's his girlfriend as well. And there's, you know, there's basically things going on every day. So it is trending toward no for that for Sunday night. Obviously, on Monday, we're going to talk about it. Also working on something else for next week as well. That don't want to talk about yet right now. I never like to jinx things.
Is so. Jesse finally proposing? Is that what's happening?
No.
Ah, dang it. Those lines.
But DK does want to know if he's in the kitchen baking cookies for mom.
I came home to fresh baked chocolate chip cookies today. I have never been happier.
Man, I had to swing that.
They're coming out of the oven as I walked in the door. Love my wife.
I love the smell of fresh baked.
It's amazing.
And especially chocolate chip. Fresh baked anything smells good, but chocolate chip cookies.
Just classic chocolate chip, man. Nothing special. And here's the thing. She didn't do it for me. Like, let's be real clear on that. She was craving chocolate chip cookies, so she
made them for herself. Okay.
But it just, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits.
True.